We're a very strange and curious people. Curious meaning we are the objects of curiosity. Our existence, our survival, our fierce loyalty to a system and a way of life that's been part and parcel of our people for thousands of years is a very curious thing to the world. Nobody seems to get it. They quote Albert Einstein, as was interviewed once, and he was asked the question if he could meet a personality from history, from ancient times, from way back, who would he want to meet and speak to? And they thought he would tell him some famous scientist, Newton, Galileo, Copernicus, I don't know, somebody like that. And he, without hesitation, said, I would want to meet Moses. And I would like to ask Moses if he really believed that thousands of years later, his people would still be studying the same Torah and still observing the same commandments as he taught them 3,330 years ago was Yetzias Mitzrayim. This individual, who was supposed to be a very intelligent man, a life dedicated to science, certainly should have been interested in seeing and meeting and discussing some of his predecessors whose knowledge, his knowledge and his thinking was built on. And yet the thing that was the most curious to him, I gotta talk to this Moses guy and to find out if he really thought that which he taught would survive thousands of years. Not only did it survive thousands of years, but close to 2,000 of those years were under the worst conditions imaginable. No homeland. Exiled from a homeland. Exiled to the far-flung corners of the earth. Wherever you go today, and in the last 2,000 years, you find Jews all over the strangest places. And no homeland. Dispersed all over. Persecuted in so many different places, exiled from exile to exile, that's been our history, and yet we still, every Shabbos and every Monday and every Thursday, we still read from the same Sefer Torah all over the world, wherever there are Jews that gather together in a place of Jewish worship. They're reading the same text, exactly the same, identical. And they're observing the same holidays. And they're putting on the same tefillin. Now today, there may be, and there have been periods of time in Jewish history where there have been people that were not as committed to observance. But the core observance and the core reality of Judaism as it was taught to us 3,300 years ago, remains and survives today. I mentioned here once, I'm quite certain, about the rabbi in Florida who told me that he brings every few years a sofer to fix his Sifrei Torah. And the sofer, Chassidish sofer, told him that when he comes down, he also goes to the Reform Temple. The Reform rabbi there has him fix his scrolls as well. And he says he once asked this Reform rabbi, why do you bring a guy like me to fix your scrolls? Like, what do you care about that? And he said to him, he says, those scrolls are the only genuine thing I have in this temple. I want to make sure they stay that way. Nobody's ever tampered with it. Comes Pesach, Jews all over the world even those that may not be observant the whole year long, even those that may not even be observant of this particular Yom Tov, but they gather together by a Seder. For many years it was the Maxwell House Haggadah and the Manischewitz Matzah and Wine. Today there's a lot of competition out there. And they sit down and they tell the same story. And they eat the same matzah and the same moror. And it's like this has been going on for thousands of years without a break. Not only that, what's very interesting is most people, I'm sure if we ask for a show of hands, we would find the majority, most people have experienced the Seder experience with three generations together. Grandparents, parents, and children. Maybe not every year. Some people, you know, grandparents pass on, but they've experienced this experience of, so not only do I have the information, the tradition, the story, the understanding, the history that my father passed on to me, but I've had the opportunity to check out his sources and to hear it from his father and from my other grandfather, so that I know that this is a chain that has been double linked, that every generation who receives from the next generation, the most of them, for the most part, had contact with the previous generation, so they corroborated this story that was passed on. And what's very, very interesting is this same story is passed on in the houses of Jews all over the world. Nobody's changed the text. There's no different story in the Haggadah. I once had the privilege of inviting who was then the Ethiopian chief rabbi to the Ethiopian community in Israel to speak for a group of people. And it was amazing how they've been separated for the better part of the 2,000 years of exile, completely out of contact with the rest of Klal Yisrael, and yet they too, the same stories, the same makas, the same matzah, the same agodah, you know, little variations in language, but it was like this system has survived beyond Albert Einstein's wildest dreams. What's the secret of this survival? Now, the true secret is that Hashem has promised that we will survive. And Hashem has promised that the Torah will survive. The Pasuk says, "V'af gam zois v'yoysom b'eretz ha'yaveim, lo ma'astim v'lo ga'altim l'chaloysom, l'hofer b'risi itom." It says, Hashem promises that even when they'll be in the lands of their enemies, and be exiled, and be persecuted, and be all over the world, I'm not going to allow them to be destroyed. Klal Yisrael will never be destroyed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised in the Torah. And he also promised that the Torah will remain with us. Lo yisi shochach mi pizaroi. It will never be forgotten from the Zera Yisrael for all the generations. As the Novi said, Ruchi asher alecho udvor asher samti beficho, my spirit and the words that I put in your mouth, lo yamushu mipicho mipizarecho umipizera zaracho meyatav ad olam, will never cease to go from generation, from mouth to mouth, from one generation, mipicho mipizarecho mipizera zaracho meyatav, from now and forevermore. So the Torah promised us that the Klal Yisrael will survive, and the Torah will survive with the Klal Yisrael. That's the reality. But on a psychological, or on a human, or on a sociological level, how did this all happen? Al piderach hateva, how did it unfold? Well, I think the Seder is a very good example of one of the systems which have allowed this to survive. Because we are very practical people. Our Torah is a very practical Torah. It isn't just about speeches. It isn't just about study. It's about speeches, yeah. Unfortunately, we got speeches. We got study, and we have action. And when study and action are in sync, that's when you assure survival to the next generation. If the Torah would just be a book of information, a book of tells us the historical events and tells us what's expected of us. But it didn't have the, I would almost call it, the reliving of those events. Then eventually those events would become vague and vaguer and more remote and more distant and like dreams and imagination. And yeah, I heard about this Mitzrayim thing. And yeah, I don't know, I'm tired, I want to go to sleep. But the reality is that the Torah gave us a system to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim and the miracles that took place in Mitzrayim, which introduced us to Hashem and His intricate and intimate and detailed and absolute involvement in every aspect of our lives, which we saw in Mitzrayim with the Makkos. And the Meila, we now know that this is the way Hashem operates, and this has been passed on not just as a story, but as a lifestyle. What do I mean? Every year the Jew comes to the Seder on the anniversary of the event. This is the anniversary of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not some arbitrary day. Not like they changed George Washington's birthday to make it President's Day weekend. You know, now all of a sudden George Washington was born on a different day. No, this is the absolute accurate calendar date when the Yetzias Mitzrayim and the anniversary. Anniversaries are times for reflection, are times for identifying with the past, because this is the day when it happened. And on that anniversary, we don't just mention it as we do every day, but we relive it. We sit down to a Seder and we do a number, we take a number of actions which make it come alive. The first action that we do to make the Seder, to make the Yetzias Mitzrayim, to make our history of 3,330 years ago come alive, is the mitzvah to involve our children. Our children ask questions, and we give answers. V'igadeto lebincha. There's a discussion. And you know, I don't think you know from personal experience, but if you, when you get older, you'll see you'll have children, then there's nothing more that a parent wants than to tell the truth and the reality to his child. No parent would want to give over a message that isn't real. So the very fact that I tell this message to my child not only strengthens the reality in the mind and the heart of my child, it strengthens the reality in my mind and my heart. I'm reliving it and rededicating and refocusing on it because I'm telling it over to my son. I'm telling it over to my daughter. I'm telling it over to my family. Oh, this is reality. If I didn't remember that it was reality, I recognize it once again. But it's not just telling the story. It's reliving it. The props. Props help us to relive, to reenact the events of history. When they left Mitzrayim, well, first of all, when they were in Mitzrayim, there was great suffering. There were a lot of tears. There was a meager diet. They barely had what to eat. We take the karpas, some little vegetable, a small piece, less than a kezias, and we dip it into the salt water, representing the tears that we shed in Mitzrayim. The avodas parech, this back-breaking servitude that we were in there for 210 years. And we remember that. The tears, the meager diet. We have the matzah. Reminds us of a few things. First of all, reminds us of the food that they ate in Mitzrayim. Matzah is not, although, you know, we can enjoy matzah, but matzah is not the most cherished or the most desired presentation of bread. Bread that rises is much more desirable. But they ate matzah. They didn't. And on the way out, they couldn't even allow, they were leaving, they were free, they were not slaves anymore, but they couldn't allow that bread to rise because they had to leave immediately. Because when the moment of the Geula came, Hashem said, out, it's out, I can't let you stay for another second. So we remember this event and the speed with which they left Mitzrayim, the food that they ate in Mitzrayim, and the speed with which they had to leave Mitzrayim, that they couldn't even bake it any further. All an actuality. We eat it, we look at it, we talk about it, and we eat it. Same thing in Moror. We taste this, everybody has different standards of that, but it's supposed to be something that's bitter. Just a reminder, not just a story, but a prop that focuses it again. And as we put on this act, our children watch. And they realize that to their parents, we are reenacting real events. Events that happened thousands of years ago, but have been reenacted like this without a break for over 3,300 years. And I saw this from my father, and I saw this from my grandfather. He saw it from his father, and he saw it from his grandfather, and he saw it from his father, and from his grandfather, and wherever Jews are throughout the world, this is what they're doing. On every radio station, you'll hear that tonight, the Jewish people sit down to the Seder to celebrate the Exodus from Egypt, or whatever they may announce over there. And the story with the action, with the review, with the fact that I'm doing the same thing in my house that he's doing in his house, and he's doing in his house, and he's doing his house, and that's all around the neighborhood, that's all around Brooklyn, that's all around Queens, that's all around New York, that's all around the United States, that's all around the North American continent, that's all around the world, and that's throughout history. The testimony that's there, the power of that reenactment of those events is probably the most potent force. Al piderach hateva, the hashkoches Hashem is what makes it happen. But Hashem gave us this system so that the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which were really the first encounter that we had with seeing Hashem's miraculous involvement in all of nature, in all of creation. You know, we didn't witness creation. Adam Arishon was created at the end of the creation. So there was no human eyewitness to creation. The first eyewitness to the Creator in His creative powers happened in Mitzrayim. And we testify this and we relive it in such a way that for generation after generation, to this very day, after thousands of years, wherever there are Jews, this story remains so clear, so vivid, such a reality. And it's that reality, by the way, that we reflect upon every day when we remember what happened to Mitzrayim. And the truth of the matter is, the Jew has an amazing power of survival. But that power of survival stems from the fact that he knows Hashem is in control, that he's connected to Hashem, that he's reliant on Hashem, that he counts on him when he faces any and every difficulty in his life. And the strength to do this, the strength of conviction, the strength of reality, the strength of the feeling that we have in that connection to Hashem comes from this Pesach experience. And therefore, I think that we're very fortunate that we have a Torah which teaches us the formula to preserve and relive our history to make it a reality. If it was just a vague memory of an event of the past that I read about in a brief moment, in a paragraph or two, it wouldn't have any effect on my life. But when I relive it and re-experience it regularly, and then I refer to that experience every day, it becomes part of my reality. And that's really the strength of the Jew. And to Professor Einstein, I would answer that Moshe certainly knew that his Torah would survive because it promised such survival and because the system was in place to assure that to this very day, the events that took place 3,330 years ago will once again at the Seder night appear and be internalized as the reality of what has taken place in our lives. And the Chazal took it one step further. The Chazal at the end of the first part of the Haggadah said, Chayev Odom Liroy Ses Atzmoy, Ki'ilu Hu Yotzo Mi Mitzrayim. After all these preps are put into put into motion, and after a person has discussed the whole story and is ready to eat the matzah now, and has had the karpas and the all the business and sitting there as may avdus lecheirus, leaning as a king and yet experiencing the reminders of the avdus, then Chazal say with this you can actually view yourself as if it happened to you. So the props and the reliving of the history make it possible for it to be so vivid that, oh, you know, it's as if I was there. I feel as if I was there. Did you ever have an experience, I know I've had it, where you could swear you were someplace and you were part of a certain conversation, and in reality you weren't, it's just it was described to you so vividly that you mamish get confused with whether you heard it or whether you were there. Happens to me. Sometimes as you get older, it happens more often. But that's what happens. We can reach that. That ke'ilu hu yotza mi Mitzrayim, because it becomes such a reality in our lives that we feel, I feel almost as if I was there. That's what that's where the strength of our Messiah comes from. And that really is the explanation to Einstein's question of whether Moshe really believed it would survive. He knew it would survive, and he knew that the system was in place to assure it. And we are part of that chain of survival. And as we sit down to the Seder, we can once again imbibe, take in, focus, and pass on eventually to the next generation those traditions that have been passed on to us for thousands of years, which assure the survival of Klal Yisrael.